Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhaktim Mahu Pravahatam. Vayima Prasango Bhuyadananta Mahatam Amalashayanam Yena Jisho Banamuru Dasanam Bhavadim Neshe Bhavad Gunakata Mrita Panamata. Translation. Dhruva Maharaj continued. O unlimited Lord, kindly bless me so I may associate with great devotees who engage in your transcendental loving service constantly, as the waves of a river constantly flow. Such transcendental devotees are completely situated in uncontaminated state of life. By the process of devotional service, I shall surely be able to cross the nescience of material existence, which is filled with the waves of blazing fire-like danger. It will be very easy for me, for I am becoming mad to hear about your transcendental qualities and pastimes were eternally existent. Omigyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksur Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Sitaitanya Mano Bhishnam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Pancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I was able to get on today with relative ease, a little bit late, but only 5 minutes. And greetings from Kali, Colombia, a real little paradise. Yeah, very nice. And I think the real paradise is the piety of the people you meet. To me, that's kind of the difference when I see here, I see America. Not America doesn't have pious people also, but generally speaking, when people get more things, atyahara, they collect more things, it can distract them from spiritual life, becomes irrelevant to them sometimes. It doesn't have to happen, but we see that. Even Queen Kunti prayed, Janmaishvarya Shruta Vibir. That when people become intoxicated with janma, birth, aishwarya, opulence, shruta, education, shri, beauty, they don't have feelings. They can lose it. And to a certain extent, you see that in America. That, yeah, I just yesterday we I went to this one doctor's house, and on the way we made a delivery. There's a savory that we cook here and we sell called empanadas. They're fantastic. It's kind of like, it can be like pizza, a pizza roll or pizza. And we were delivering, and then we went to this one house of somehow people that I knew. They study yoga here. But I didn't know that those. And it was just incredible place. My God, how beautiful. But what I noted is how, you know, these people are sophisticated and educated and modern, but how deeply religious they are. You know, it's tradition doesn't have to conflict with modernity. But even more, how pious, how religious they were, how cultured they were. And, they came to my kirtan seminar for 2 days. And that's another thing. It's called Sahagrahi Vaishnava. Sahagrahi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had that term. Sahagrahi means you understand the essence. And when you understand the essence of something, then you'll be able to recognize it even when it's in another form. So people who really recognize the essence of religion, they don't become sectarian. Because they understand that real religion, Dharma, is the essence of the soul. It's not a particular faith, although a particular faith may express it better than other faiths. But you'll see that. So I see these people are so Catholic. You know, so pious. And you know, they are Catholic. But it doesn't prevent them from chanting Hare Krishna and doing yoga and hearing Bhagavatam. Rather, not only does it hinder them, it gives them an advantage because they already have experience of it, and therefore they can have more appreciation for the same thing when they see it in another form. So that was my kind of realization. And now Dhruva Maharaj is really inspired by the instructions he gets from God. He has so much faith. And the response to mercy is prayer. Because mercy is love from above, because it's undeserved kindness. Kindness is the love from above. So when you feel that within your heart, it's natural to reciprocate. And the natural reciprocation is glorification. That's Trinada Pisa Nichena, Tarota Pisa Hishtana, Amanina, Madanena, Kirtaniya Siddhahari. When one is humble, one feels mercy. When one feels mercy, one feels like he's chanting. He feels to chant. He feels to glorify. So these prayers come out of his heart. And he's thinking how great this process of devotional service is. The always analogy, you can cross the ocean of material existence. This is more than the ocean of material existence. It's the ocean of material existence filled with the waves of fire-like dangers. Ulbanam, terrible. Uru, great. Dasanam, dangers. Bhava Adhim, the ocean of material existence. Neshe, I shall cross, Bhavat, by your mercy. And how do you cross it? that satsang, the association of devotees. The main characteristic of a devotee is a satsang tyag, a Vaishnava achar. His behavior is, he's carefully about his sangha. That's really the main symptom of a devotee and a person advancing in Krishna consciousness, that you move forward by your sangha. Because your bhakti is very much a condition of the heart, and your sangha creates your heart. And we know in the Upadeshamrita what is that sangha. Tadati pratigrinati, you give gifts, you accept gifts. Guyamayachi prachiti, you reveal your mind in confidence, you explain to others in confidence. Bhukte bhojiyatai chaiva, you share food. That company, sangha, creates a conduit from your heart to another person, and you'll be affected. So, therefore, it's especially recommended that we get the association of advanced devotees. First class sadhu sangha means three things: that people are more advanced, they're like-minded, and there's relationship. This is bhakti. And without relationship with devotees, you can't understand your relationship with God. So that's first-class sadhu sangha. So he wants to associate, and that's really everything. And that's our prayer, and that's what we seek for. And I know there's these new age things, the law of attraction, what you think you can create. And of course, there's a limit to that, of course, a great limit to that. You know, we share reality with other people. We don't just create it ourselves. But Krishna will respond to the desire in our hearts, because he's in our hearts. And that's how the transcendental process works. God hears our heart. He's in our heart. And hearing our heart and hearing our desire for truth and the people who represent truth, then God makes an arrangement that truth appears before us in the terms of sadhus and gurus. Like Narada Muni himself, when he went into his heart and he was not, you know, he didn't know what he did wrong. Vyasadeva went into his heart. He did not understand what he did wrong. And then he thought he heard something, but he thought he heard God's voice in the heart. He thought he heard God's voice up. Wasn't sure if it was distinguished from his mind. He went in his heart, and the senses are controlled. The super soul is at reach. He went into his heart, and he wasn't sure. But even though he wasn't sure that was the voice of God, God was sure it was his voice. And God heard his voice and then appeared in the form of Narada Muni, the spiritual master, the external manifestation of the super soul. And this is the process of bhakti. The process of bhakti is going through our heart and sincerely desiring the sadhus. And sadhu means heavy, because if it's the truth does not conform to our desires necessarily. I always make that point. Some of our desires may be true, but not because we desire them, because they conform to the truth. But other of our desires don't conform to the truth. It's very heavy. You have to be very, very sincere very, very sincere to absolutely want the truth. And that's bhakti from A to Z. Because it starts that way. That God sees our desire somehow in some lifetime to find something higher than ourselves and our own authority based on our selfishness. God sees that we want an authority higher than our selfishness, higher than this is what I want to do as my authority. The authority is what I want to do. And God sees that and sends Sadhu Sangha. But at every step of our life, we need Sadhu Sangha. And that should be our fervent prayer. Because that's what moves our heart. That's what changes. That's why the sages of Naimisharanya, when Sutta said he was going to explain the Bhagavatam, they said Sutta Sutta Mahabhaga. Sutta Sutta Mahabhaga. We're so fortunate. Why? We're so fortunate. Why? Because Yata Mati Yata Ditim, you heard and you realized something. And therefore you can explain it. You advance when you live by truth. But how do you get truth? You get truth from people who represent truth, realize that truth, and then can communicate it to you. And then he says, I want to associate with these people who have realized that truth. Guru Parampara, it's not under Parampara, it's not blind. It's people who see. They can tell you. Not people who are blind, they can't tell you. You want to learn about color? You got to go from someone who sees color. You want to learn about God? Gyaninas Tattvadarshana. You have to go to one who is Tattvadarshana. Gyaninas, he knows, he sees the Tattva. He sees Tattva, the reality, the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is that there is a supreme absolute reality, and it's not us. And we are the part of that supreme absolute reality. And we're meant to cooperate with the supreme absolute reality. That's the truth. We are the Anga, and God is the Angi. The Angi means the possessor of limbs. Anga means the limbs. God is the body. We are the part. The part is meant to serve the whole. And when it's constantly in alignment with that reality, alignment with the reality, I am the hand. I'm in, and there is a body, and I am a part of the body, and I should just serve the body. And in doing that, I find my fulfillment. I find my nourishment. So we're part of God. We find our alignment. We find our nourishment. So I want to associate with those devotees who have realized that. And therefore, they engage constantly in devotional service. It never stops. They never deviate from the truth, because the truth is coming from God in terms of his desire. And the truth is that when we are free from ignorance and we can see the truth, we will feel the truth. And the feeling of truth is our relationship with the truth, who is a person. And what is that relationship with? What is that feeling called? That is called prema or love. prema pumartha mahan, the greatest value is that prema or love. And therefore, such transcendental devotees are completely situated in an uncontaminated state of life. Because what's the contamination? The contamination is selfishness. You put yourself in the center rather than God. Just like Narada Muni, when he was a young boy, and he got that saksha darshan, that direct vision of God, and then he tried again to meditate on God and couldn't see him, but he heard God's voice. He said, "You'll not see me in this lifetime because there's some material taint, and you're not complete in service." And what is that material taint? Material taint was he was in the Himalayas and he was attached to the mode of goodness, but his attachment was still superfluous to the soul. Ahabhaya, it's external. It's still external to the soul. It's like in Ramananda Samvad, that great discussion between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "What is the essence of the scriptures?" And he kept on giving verses. And Lord Chaitanya kept on saying, "Ahabhaya, this is external to the soul." Because the soul is consciousness reaching its fruition in love. So selfishness has to do with false ego, not real ego. So even Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy gave the verse, finally, it culminated, kept on giving verses. Sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam vajaham tvam sarva papebhyo moksayasyami vasucha. Give up everything, surrender to me. Even then, sarva dharman, ahabhaya. Why? Because it's sarva, give up. It's renunciation. Renunciation also is external to the soul. So it's external to the soul. So it's contamination. But when you are completely pure, anya bila shita shunyam, there are no other desires that are not integral with the soul. Anya bila shita shunyam jnana karma janavritam. You're not covered by karma or gyan. Then that's uttama bhakti. And he said, this will be easy for me because I am becoming mataha, mad, pana, by drinking guna katamrita, the nectar of your pastimes. The nectar of your pastimes. Becoming mad to hear about your transcendental quality and pastimes, which are eternally existent. I'm mad, that means I'm attracted to you. So devotional service becomes easy. When you become attracted to, when you have love, and the symptom of love is you like to hear about your beloved, you like to chant about your beloved. And therefore, when there's love, then the process devotional service becomes easy. It no longer becomes an austerity, because the very thing that is good for you, you like to do, and that should be our goal. When we can come to the point that the very thing that is good to us is the thing we like to do, then devotional service becomes easy and life becomes easy. Right now, the things that are good for us, we may not like to do, but we have to do them anyway. Anyway, the main point is Dhruva Maharaj is recognizing it's sadhu sangha. It's opening your heart and exchanging with those who are advanced. Purport: the significant point in Dhruva Maharaj's statement is that he wanted the association of pure devotees. Transcendental devotional service cannot be complete and cannot be relishable without the association of devotees. We have therefore established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Anyone who is trying to be aloof from this Krishna conscious society and yet engage in Krishna consciousness is living in a great hallucination, for this is not possible. So here, does that mean... It's interesting. Does this mean ISKCON? That no one who is... that without being... Well, first of all, Prabhupada is talking to his disciples at the time. And there's nothing but ISKCON. There's either hippie life or ISKCON at the time that he wrote this. And someone trying to do bhakti on their own is basically doomed without that association to support your endeavor. So he's making the point. We need the association of the devotees. That's what's so nice about the Bhakti Center. Let's give just an example in New York. The Bhakti Center, CNJ, New Jersey. And when you have a temple that you can, that's functional and that serves the needs of the congregation, then you can make advancement. And then when you're in a place and you don't have that ability, then it becomes more difficult, unless you take a veil to go to those places or spend some time. But to live always completely isolated, it's very difficult to advance. Even one Sanskrit scholar told me the term sadhu sarg, friction with the sadhu. Because our attachments will be exposed in their association. So this is a requirement. And we can just look practically at this. Why did I create this? Initially, because there was really not so much functional association for people. So we created this society of Krishna consciousness. But I see, I know most people, I think, go to the Bhakti Center. It's not a Bhakti Center in New York. There'd be no Krishna consciousness for them. Or many of them. And in Antanachuta at the Radha Govinda Mandir in the evenings, twice a week they provide kirtan. If they didn't provide that sadhu sangha, the certain people, there would be no spiritual life. From this statement by Dhruva Maharaj, it is clear that unless one is associated with devotees, his devotional service is not mature. It does not become distinct from material activities. The Lord says, Satam prasangam amavirisam prado bhavanti ritkarna vasayana kata Bhagavatam 3:25-25. Only in the association of pure devotees can the words of Lord Krishna be fully potent and relishable to the heart and ears. Without even explaining it philosophically, just practically you can understand this. Anyone who's listening to this, including me, if we are isolated from the association of devotees, what would our spiritual life be? And even if we executed it, to what degree could it be relishable? The association in devotional activities is just like the waves of an incessant flowing river. In our Krishna conscious society, we have full engagement 24 hours a day. Every moment of our time is always busily engaged in the service of the Lord. This is the incessant flow of devotional service. So what is the highest dharma? Savai pumso paro dharmo yato bhaktir adoksaji yato bhaktir adoksaji. Just have bhakti to God. Ohoitaki apatiyata. When it's not motivated and not broken, it'll give satisfaction to the self. Motivation is broken. Because motivation means you're doing it for some other reason rather than to please God. You're doing it for yourself, not for God. So once that enters into bhakti, the flow of bhakti is broken. And apratiyata, to break it in any way. So when you're fully engaged in devotional service, and basically, ultimately, that has to come down to the point, because, you know, we're in the world and we're working and we have so many things and family, etc. Alignment with what is God's will. I take care of my family because that's what God wants. Well, we have like this huge, beautiful horse, and it just ran out of the stables, right out the front gate, next door to play with the other horses. And we're in the city. I mean, we're in such, it's, I don't know, it's just amazing. I walk out my door, I take a left, there's a horse farm, and then there's a Goshala. And I go past the Goshala, and it looks like I'm in Mayapur, big, beautiful trees. A Mayavadi philosopher may question us, you may be very happy in the association of devotees, but what is your plan for crossing the ocean of material existence? Dhruva Maharaj's answer is not very difficult. He clearly says this ocean can be crossed very easily if one simply becomes mad to hear the glories of the Lord. This is, because when you hear, you become attracted, and when you become attracted, you develop faith. And when you develop faith, there's more conviction and more determination to practice. That's why the whole Bhagavatam is written, according to Vyasadeva. Because how do you get out of the false ego? The false ego is the conception that I am the enjoyer, and therefore I must control the world to do so. And that is the right thing to do, and that's what my identity is, and that's what's in all of our hearts. So how do you get out of that? Love. And the highest love is love for God. How do you get at that love? You hear about Krishna. You hear about Krishna's pastimes. And then you develop a desire to serve God. And when you develop the desire to serve God, that's your real identity. That's not the false ego. Bhagavad Gunakata, for anyone who persistently engages in hearing the topics of the Lord from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, from Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and who is actually addicted to this process, just as one becomes addicted to intoxicants, it is very easy to cross the nations of material existence. There's a state called asakti. Asakti. Asakti means addiction. So, this strong desire. The ocean of material existence is compared to a blazing fire. But to a devotee, this blazing fire is insignificant because he is completely absorbed in devotional service. It becomes insignificant because the whole material existence is based on our selfish desires. And therefore, it's insurmountable because it's life after life, life after life, life after life. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. That's why it's insurmountable. But here, if you surrender to Guru and Krishna and you become absorbed in devotional service because you want to serve and you become attracted to God, then the material world does not exist. Or the illusion of the material world doesn't exist. And what are the illusions of the material world? That it's separate from Krishna and I must enjoy it. That I am the enjoyer. I was telling this story the other day when this great lady saint, my god sister, Mother Gauri, was dying, and the Ayurvedic doctor came in and felt her pulse, said, "You have 1 hour to live, disease is finished." And wow, wrap that around your head. But what does disease is finished mean? Disease is finished means the false ego. And therefore, it's not that the body was not deteriorating, but she was not experiencing it. Because she didn't identify with the body as the self. And that is the real suffering. Not that the body is changing. That's just material. And that's the nature of material. The nature of material things is they dwindle and they become non-existent. But that doesn't happen in us. And one who realizes that is not bewildered by such a change. Dhiras, tatva, and muhyate. As the embodied soul moves from boyhood to childhood to youth to old age, similar to the time of death, they accept another body. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. The ocean of material nescience is compared to a blazing fire, but to a devotee, this blazing fire is insignificant because he is completely absorbed in devotional service. Although the material world is blazing fire, to a devotee it feels full of pleasure. Vishvam Purna Shukayate. Or as you see it in a different way. You see it for service rather than for exploitation. And when you see it for exploitation, that fortifies the false conception of life, the false ego, and you become full of fear. That's that material existence. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesita shat. You turn from God. The purport of this statement by Dhruva Maharaj is that devotional service is the association of devotees is the cause of the development of further devotional service. By devotional service only is one elevated to the transcendental planet Goloka Vrindavan. And there also there's only devotional service. The activities of devotional service, both in this world and the spiritual world, are one and the same. Devotional service does not change. I remember when I took Tamal Krishnamurti to Gita Nagari for the first time since the Radha Damodar days, and the last time he actually saw Radha Damodar. Henry's listening. He remembers that he actually drove us there. And he was in Satsrup Marja's cabin, and he was very happy to be with Radha Damodar and the devotees. And he kind of noticed, he saw Mother Kalini our wonderful God sister, you know, in her white sari and her, you know, big, maybe a sari pant, whatever she's wearing, but in her big, you know, high boots up to her knees, going early in the morning to get to milk the cows, and then take the milk to the kitchen and make sweets Radha Damodar. And Tamal Krishnamurti turned to me, what is the difference with what she is doing now and what she will do after she dies? This is the key to becoming free. Gajendra, out. There's a big Doberman pincher called Gajendra here. So, this is the secret to getting rid of fear. The secret of getting rid of fear is to do devotional activities, especially chanting Hare Krishna. Why? Because those activities are in relationship to the real self, which doesn't die. You chant, Govinda, get rid of Gajendra, because I'm giving class. So that doesn't end. You'll get that sense. This entity, this person, the soul, the servant of Krishna, that doesn't end with the body. But when you act on the platform of false ego, that identity will be non-existent, will die. So here he's saying the same thing. Devotional service is not changed. The example of a mango can be given. One gets an unripe mango, it is still a mango. And what is a ripe, it is the same mango. But it's become tasteful and relishable. Similarly, there is devotional service performed in accordance with the direction of the spiritual master. And the injunctions and regulative principles of Shastra, and there is devotional service in the spiritual world rendered directly in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they are both the same. There is no change. The difference is that one stage is unripe and the other is ripe and more relishable. It is possible to mature in devotional service. Again, Prabhupada brings it back to the same point, only by the association of devotees. If it's available, take it. If it's not, pray for it. Okay. Are there any questions? Anybody there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, yeah. It was a really, really nice class, Maharaj. I really appreciate it.
Gail?
Yeah.
It
yes.
never fails
again?
That when I'm disappointed, you say it's a great class. Okay. No, it was okay. Go ahead. Ask a question.
No. You made everything so clear. Oh. I don't have one.
Whoa.
Very nice. This really
is
nice.
This
clarity.
Is, I'm almost fainting off my chair here. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Anybody else have a question? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Okay, I heard three people at once. Shadanjali, Nalachandri, and
yes.
Tota Gopinath. Haribol. Haribol.
Haribol.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Gumaraj, this is Kishori.
And Priya.
And Priya, great. I'm so happy. And I'll be back soon.
We can't wait.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Yeah, okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Maharaj, thank you for mentioning the trip to Gitanagari and those details about it.
You remember that? That was wonderful, right?
Where did we pick Maharaj up from?
Do you remember where we picked him up from? Was it New York someplace?
Brooklyn Temple, and I'd never driven in Brooklyn. It was a little nerve-wracking.
Well, you know, we have to take risks for Krishna consciousness. That's great. Thank you, Henry. That was a great time. I remember, too. Great. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Gordon Bhaktadas.
Govardhan, Hare Bo. Good. Okay, I'm going to end now. Get on with our day here in beautiful Kali. And the weather just couldn't be better either. I'm even wearing a little jacket now. So, okay. Hare Bo. Vanchukopa Juvisukha Pisanthi.